So I'm excited and I'm glad for this opportunity to talk to you guys. Let's see if I can get, oh, there we go, tighten that. So tonight, I just want to talk about some things that I think I've just been learning. It's been an interesting, I feel like the last couple of years of my life, the word for it would be change. There's just been a lot of change happening. And so I just want to talk about tonight, I think really more than anything, is finding God in those moments, finding God in those moments in our lives. As you guys know, yeah, the last, John and I went in the ministry, we quit our jobs and went in the ministry. We sold our house and moved. I never thought I would live in Decula. I live in Decula. It's funny because my mom lives out in Houston. And I'm like, oh, I'm never going to go out there. I'm going to stay close to the perimeter. Well, here I am in Decula. You know, I have a teenager now. I can't believe it. And she's talking about driving. She's going to be 15 in September. And she's like, can we go driving? Even tonight, we're coming into the parking lot. And she's like, can I drive in here? I went, no. No, you can't. You have to wait for your dad. Your dad can take you. You know, in a couple of weeks, in about 3.5 weeks, I'm going to have a middle schooler, another one. I'm going to have a middle schooler and a high schooler. And I think about these things. I'm like, this is so strange. It's just, it's here, and I can't believe it. And, you know, it's not just even those things. I feel like I'm in my mid-40s now, and my body is just going crazy. I mean, it's doing things I never thought it would do. There are times I feel like I'm losing my mind. I'm not a weepy kind of person, but I'm turning into this weepy person. I cry all the time. So if I cry tonight, you guys know why. I don't get it. And I think even in my marriage, I think John and I are, you know, it's interesting. I think we're hitting I think it changes and it evolves, but I think we're definitely going through another transition period. I think where we're really kind of learning, we're growing, and I think it's that fight to grow together and not grow separate. And the things that we used to do together doesn't really quite help us to connect anymore. So we have to find new ways of connecting. So it's all these different things that are going on in my life. And I started thinking, and you know, what it's done is made me more reflective. And I started thinking about, yeah, there are certain phases in my life where I couldn't wait for it to be over. Like I think about being single. And when John and I were in like, when we liked each other, I couldn't wait to go steady. You know, it's like, when am I going to finally have a boyfriend? And then, you know, when we were dating, I couldn't wait to get married. And you're just like, okay, you know, all my friends are getting engaged. Everyone's getting married around me. Am I never going to get married? Am I going to date forever? I mean, I really thought that for a time. Silly, right? And then we got married, and I'm like, okay, I'm on to my next thing. We need to start a family. We got to start a family. And yeah, we did it right away. And I was just kind of like, what's the deal? Why are we waiting? And then when we started a family, and I remember having young children. I mean, you guys with the babies and the young children, I feel for you. I remember just being tired. I was just sleep deprived and tired. You know, and I kept thinking, I can't wait till I'm out of this phase. I can't wait until I get 8 hours of sleep again. Yeah, and so you go through these phases, and I think about that, and it was just about, I'm ready for that next phase. It's funny that now I'm past those phases. I'm kind of in that stage now where I'm looking back, and I'm thinking, man, I miss those days. I miss my body in my 20s. I miss having energy. I miss being able to pull an all-nighter and not being feeling like the walking dead the next day. We hang out with campus, and there are some nights I'm just like, okay, I'm not kicking you guys out, but I'm thinking here in my head, like, I'm so tired. And I'm like, I wish I had your energy again. I just don't. You know, but it's like you end up thinking, oh, man, I wish my kids were small again, or I miss those days, or I miss the baby days. And, you know, you're looking back. it's funny how sometimes we're always looking forward, and sometimes we're always looking back. You know, I think even sometimes during our hard times, I think about, you know, just even my life. I think about having a miscarriage. I think about just our financial hardship. You know, in when John, about 15 years ago, I think about when my brother was hit head on by a drunk driver, you know, in a car crash. I think about caring for John's dad at the end of his life. You know, I think about those difficult times, and I think sometimes what I did with those times was I was just like, okay, I'm just going to hold on, I'm going to grin, and I'm going to bear it, and I'm just going to push through, you know? I just can't wait for it to be over. And I think I realized as I started thinking about all these different things, is sometimes we can get so caught up in the future, what's going to happen next, or we can get so caught up in the past, our glory days, or we could be caught up in just, I need to get through this, that we forget to live in the moment. We forget what God's trying to do in that very moment, and we miss out on something really big. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 3. And we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 8 and verse 11. I'll wait for you guys to get there. It says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. He has made everything beautiful in its time." You know, and oftentimes when I read this, I think about it, and I'm just kind of like, what extremes? You know, when you think about the joys of birth and new life, how amazing it is. I think anyone who's ever had a child, I mean, just how amazing that moment is. It's not even that moment of birth. I think about the first time you hear the heartbeat. I think about all those moments, and you're just amazed by God and how incredible that is. And then you throw it onto the other side of just the time of death, a time of saying goodbye, and how difficult that is and how hard to say goodbye sometimes. And sometimes, you know, I think goodbyes are never really planned when it comes to death. Even if it is a long death, a prolonged, you know, illness like John's dad. Even when it's like that, I don't know if we're ever truly prepared. I think about, you know, just a time to weep and a time to laugh, and how there are times where we need to cry. I tell the campus girls this all the time, it's good to cry. Because there's something about it that heals us. You know, and we're, I think the world tells us if you cry, you're being weak. If you shed tears, then you're not strong. And I disagree. I think it takes great strength to cry. It takes great strength to mourn. But on the flip side, to really laugh. To find joy in the little things. I think having children and my kids help me find joy oftentimes. And just, I mean, we're driving up to Helen with the campus ministry to go TV, and the whole time they're just like, giggling in the background. And it's getting louder and louder and louder. I'm just like, okay, girls, can we? I'm constantly going like this. Turn down the volume, turn down the volume. But I think about that, and I'm like, I love just their joy. You know, how amazing it is. And I think the cool thing about it is God wants to give us all kinds of moments. You know, not just good, but also these other times where it's not so good. I think sometimes we think, okay, if God loves me, all things should be good, right? It's like, hey, if he's in control, if he's sovereign, why aren't all the things good? But you know, that's not what God's trying to say to us. I think what God's trying to tell us, there is a time for everything. And not just that there's a time for everything, you know, but in those moments, there are beautiful things about it. Now, I think about right now, everyone in this room is in one of these situations, if not multiple situations like this. I think some of us, it's a time of celebration. I think about our college crew who's graduated. You know, it's like, that's exciting. They're finally done. Of course, for some of those, it's uncertainty. It's like, okay, now I've graduated. What am I going to do in my life, right? And so you get both sides. I think some of us are going through great sorrow and tragedy. And it's hard. And I know in those times, it's easy to wonder, God, where are you? I think others of us are going through health and financial challenges. You know, I think about the sisters in our congregation who deal with chronic illnesses. They are my hero. They are amazing how faithful they are and how amazing they are and how they fight to be here when they can, but even when they're not, how they pray for us. Amen. And I love that. They are amazing that way. You know, I think there's some of us who wants to get married. Some of the singles are just kind of like, okay, when is this ever going to happen? I think there are those of us who are married and who's kind of like, I want this to be over. You know, and that's just a reality. I've been there where I've been in a marriage where I just felt like John and I were just strangers. And I felt like, what is the point of this? You know, I think others of us are facing challenges with our families, our children. And we don't really know what the outcome's going to be. But I think my message for you tonight is don't run. I think sometimes when we're going through things, we just want to run. We just want to hide. We don't want to deal with it. And don't run. I think another thing we do is we fight. You know, and I'm telling you tonight, don't fight it. Don't get angry. Well, you are going to be angry, but I think there's anger and there's surrender. I think don't fight it. Embrace it. You know, I think there's times where we just like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to buckle down. I'm going to shut down my emotions. I'm not going to feel anything. I'm going to grin it. I'm just going to wait for it to be over. Don't do that either. You know, because we're meant to find the beauty in those situations. And I know sometimes I think, I'm like, okay, how am I supposed to find beauty in death? How am I supposed to find beauty in the ending of a relationship? How am I supposed to find beauty in hardship? I remember our electricity getting turned off. How am I supposed to find beauty in that? But the thing too, it is possible. And the only way we can do it is if we find God in that moment. And we find God in those moments and we think about God. And we think about what God really wants for our life. And what his plan really, really is. Let's turn to Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10. We're going to read verse 23 and 24. It says, Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. Discipline me, Lord, but only in due measure. Our lives are not our own. Do you understand that? It's not really for us to direct. I think control is an illusion. I tell the campuses all the time, it's an illusion. The only person I know I can control. Okay, sometimes I can't even control myself. But I say the only person I can control is myself, and there are moments I can't even do that. And so the theta is, yeah, control is an illusion. It's an illusion. But the cool thing is God is in control, and that God is sovereign, and that he is planning something for us. He's directing us. He's directing our path. He's directing our moments. He's directing the good, the bad. He's orchestrating for something. And the whole point is that he wants to teach us. He wants us to be conformed to his son. I think about Romans 8, 28 through 29, and just talking about how God does work for the good of those who love him. But not just for the good, but his whole point is that he's going to conform us to be like Jesus. That's his goal. That's his plan. That's what he wants. And I think we've got to decide that, you know what? I don't have control at this moment, but God is in control. And I just need to learn whatever lessons it is that he's trying to teach me. I just need to figure it out and embrace it and understand what is he doing. You know, I don't know if a lot of you guys know this, but when we were talking about going into the ministry, I didn't want to come back in the ministry. John and I were in the ministry 20 plus years ago now at this point. And it's kind of funny because we just had dinner one night and I'm doing dishes and John had gotten a phone call. He got off the phone and he comes into the kitchen. I'm like washing dishes. He's like, hey, you know what? I've got a question for you. So I'm like, okay, go ahead. And so he's behind me. I'm watching. He's like, can you like just stop for a second? And I'm like, okay, this is a big deal. He's asking me to stop. So I turn off the water. My hands are still sudsy. I'm not kidding. I'm like, I'm sitting here with the sponge in one hand and soap in the other. And he's like, what do you think about us going back in the ministry? And I'm like, you're joking, right? He said, no, I'm serious. How do you feel about us going back in the ministry? And I just stood there and I'm thinking, I love my life the way it is right now. I don't know if I want to do that. And so I'm thinking this in my head. He's like, honey, what's your gut reaction? And I'm like, I don't think you want to know what my gut reaction is right now. He's like, no, really. What's your gut reaction? And I'm like, no. And he's like, what? I'm like, but my gut isn't spiritual. Let me tell you that right now. That's my gut reaction, but it's not spiritual. So let me think about this. You know, and there were so many things I was afraid about going back in the ministry. You know, I think about, it's been 20 years. I'm like, it's been 20 years. And the last time I was in the ministry, I was single. I didn't have a husband. I didn't have children. I didn't have to navigate all of that. You know, and then, of course, they're like, what do you guys think about campus? And I'm like, what? I'm old enough to be these guys' mom. You know, part of me was thinking, I've been a Christian longer than they have been alive. How is this possible that we can leave campus? Yeah. You know, so I thought about my career. You know, I was, you know, a hairdresser, and I love what I was doing. It was exactly what I wanted to do. Yeah, I was only working 6 days out of the month. And it was the perfect schedule. And I loved my clients. I loved what I was doing. I loved going to work every single day. And I just thought about those things. And I'm like, do I want to give all this stuff up? And then on top of it, you know, it was a difficult time in the church. I think it was a hard time in the church. And I was just kind of like wrestling with all of this stuff. And I have to say, I appreciate my husband and his faith and just his heart. And he was great. He was like, you know what? I don't want to do this without you. And if you don't want to do this, we don't have to do this. And I thought, okay, that's a lot of pressure. Especially because right now, every bit of me is saying, no, I'm not doing this. But yeah, the more I thought about it, and I asked him, I was like, you know what? Would you regret this if we didn't do it? Would you have regrets? 20 years from now, or 10 years from now, or even 5 years down the road, will you look at this moment and regret it if we didn't do it? And he was like, you know what? I think I would. And so I was like, oh, I guess we're going in the ministry. And I was like, okay, I guess we're doing this. and that, it was about that. I didn't want him to have any regrets. And I wanted to be there for him, and I wanted to help him if this was his dream. And so, you know, here we are. And the truth is, it has been so incredible. But at the same time, there have been moments where it was so challenging. I'm not kidding. I think early on, there were days where I just wanted to quit. And I was like, John, I don't need this job. I had a job. I don't need this job. I think it was just because I had to re-navigate so many different things. But I am so grateful that God put me in those situations. You know, I'm so grateful that I spent the last little over 2 years in the campus ministry. I think they have taught me so much. I think they've challenged me in a lot of ways changed the way I think. I do ministry completely different. I mean, it's funny, 20 years, I do ministry, when I say completely different, I'm saying completely different. I study the Bible differently than I did prior to this. I preach differently. I mean, every single bit of me is different. And I think it's because of the girls on campus. I think they've shaped me in so many different ways. I'm so grateful for. I think they've called me to truly love unconditionally. You know, I used to think that unity was conformity, but it's not. Unity is not about us looking exactly the same. Unity is about us enriching each other and being the best individual that we can be in this church. We all have different parts. We just need to play our part. We don't all need to play the same part or look exactly the same or talk the same or dress the same. I'm just like, whatever. That's not what this is about. It's about figuring out what part of God's body are you and taking it and running with it and serving and being the most effective part that you are, whatever that is. And it doesn't matter how small or how big or what you think it is. It's just as important. I think another lesson they've taught me is just how to be a better friend. Yeah, we're all reading Safe People. And John actually read it a year and a half ago when the McKinney's first got here. And, you know, Steve and Kara recommended it. And I didn't realize how unsafe I was until I started reading that book. I didn't realize how, I think I was a good friend to a certain extent, but there were just things about my character that wasn't really great. There are things, I think, in the way I thought about ministry that wasn't very, I think in the short term it might be effective, but in the long term it just wasn't very effective. And at the end of the day, I really wasn't a good friend like Jesus. And I think the girls have taught me that. I think the best thing about being on campus is that they've taught me to be a better mom. I think, I'm going to get emotional here. I would not have the relationship I have with Dakota if it wasn't for the campus girls. I think being able to translate my relationship with them into my relationship with my daughter. And I think what I learned from this is God is not linear. Like sometimes we think, okay, you know what? It needs to be a straight line. I mean, who would think to be a better mom, go hang out with campus? Never in a million years. I mean, you would think, oh, to be a better mom, I need to go hang out with other moms. But that's not how God works. God was kind of like, you know what? I'm going to teach you how to be a better mom. I'm going to put you with these campus kids. And it has been so amazing. I think I'm reaping the benefits of that. But the thing too is God is not linear. And I think sometimes when we look at our moments, we don't see how it fits in that linear pattern. And then we kind of get bent out of shape. Because, wait, I don't know how this fits. I don't know how this is supposed to go. But that's the thing is, God's not like us. I think about the Israelites. And it is from where they exit out of Egypt to the promised land, 18 miles. 18 miles. It took them 40 years. 40 years to enter the promised land. And that's just God. He took them around to refine them. He took them around to make them different. And so it's understanding that. You know, John and I made a decision when we went into the ministry. And I love my husband's perspective on this. Yeah, I think my fear was, okay, we gave up our careers. What if this doesn't pan out? What are we going to do? Because it's not just a college student or I'm not just a single person. We have children. We have all these different things. But I love my husband's attitude because he's like, honey, we got to view it like a roller coaster. We get on the ride, and when it's time to get off, we get off. And God will provide another ride. You know? And I think it's so true. And you think about roller coasters, right? I mean, there's twists and turns, and you go up and you go down, and you're just like, there are moments where you're like, what in the world is going on? I don't know what's going to happen next. Especially if you've ridden Space Mountain and it's dark. You really don't know what's happening next. You know, but that's the thing. I started thinking about it. I was like, okay, this is an adventure. We're going to get on and we're going to enjoy it. And even in the times where it's scary and we have no clue what's going on, we're going to hang on to God and we're going to have fun. Yeah. And when it's over, we're not going to whine. We're not going to complain. We're going to get off. Because God's got another ride ready for us. He's got something maybe even better. And if I don't get off and get on the next ride, I might miss out on something that I really, really would enjoy. And so my question to you tonight is, where are you on the ride? Where are you? Are you at the top? Are you at the high? And you're looking over everything, you're enjoying things. I think if that's where you're at, cherish those times and give the glory to God. You know, celebrate the victories. I think we talk a lot about that in campus. Celebrate the victories, the little ones and the big ones. I think sometimes we live in a society where it's like, oh, well, if you celebrate too much, then you're just being spoiled. I'm like, no, I'm all about celebrating. I'm like, if I got up today and I read and I prayed, that is a celebration. Because there are days I get up and the day has dragged me and I'm running. And I'm laying down like, wait, did I pray today? did I connect with God? And, you know, we have days like that. So I'm like, okay, girls, we're going to celebrate the little things. We're going to celebrate. Today, I connected with God. We should celebrate that. I think we need to celebrate, you know, when our kids do something new. Yeah, I grew up where I really didn't hear I love you often, and I didn't hear I'm proud of you. I just didn't. It wasn't said in our home. And I think John and I we've made it a thing. We're going to tell our children every day that we love them and that we're proud of them. And even when they screw up, we're like, we can fix this mistake. I still love you. Yeah, and I think it's that. It's celebrating those times. Celebrate. Are you on the twists and turns right now? You know, where you're not sure what's going to happen next. And it's, your stomach is like, it is, you're about to heave because you just don't know. But here's the thing. I think in times like that, remember that you're belted in, that God's got you belted in. He's got you, you know? And sometimes we think, okay, it's time to jump off. You think about roller coaster. If you try to jump off during one of those turns, if you go and unbuckle yourself, you're asking for trouble, right? I mean, you are going to kill yourself. But sometimes we do it spiritually, don't we? I think sometimes when things get rough, we decide, you know, I'm going to unbuckle myself. I'm getting out of this ride. I'm not doing this. Or this is the wrong ride. Well, you know what? You're on it already. I think stay buckled. Trust in the seatbelt. Trust in the mechanism. Trust in the maker of the roller coaster. Because he knows all of the stuff that goes on behind it. Trust and stay seated. Buckle down and enjoy the ride. Throw up your hands and be like, hey, you know what? I'm going to just have fun the best that I can. And I'm going to find the little things to rejoice in, the little things to celebrate. And even if I don't know what's going on around the corner, I know that I'm buckled in and I'm safe. And then are you at the end of the ride? You know, is it time to get off? I think sometimes that's the hardest, right? That's moments of change. And you're kind of like, okay, but I like that roller coaster ride. You know, I like this. I don't want to go on that. And so we took our kids to Disney World quite a few years ago. And we made the mistake of getting on Pirates of the Caribbean first. And so we thought that, you know, Logan, she's my child who's afraid of everything. She's grown a lot, but she's still afraid of a lot of things. And so we got on this ride, and so we're riding, and by the time we got off, she was just like, I'm out of here. I'm done. And so John was trying to get her to It's a Small World next. And she was like, I am not getting on that thing. And John's like, no, honey, really, it's great. And she's like, no. And she is, I mean, Dakota and I were in the Haunted Mansion or whatever. And so John, he's like, come. He's like, baby, really, you will really like it. And she is like, tears and crying. And John's like, we're going. And he picks her up. And they just go. And once they get in there, she realized, oh, I really like this ride. Oh, this is nothing like the other ride. You know, but don't we do that sometimes? Like, God is like, okay, the ride is over. And sometimes, and most of the time when the ride is over, it's not our choice. It's not. And we really didn't think the ride was going to end at the point that it did. You know, and we can choose to fight it. Or we can choose to get up and move forward and just get on the next ride. We could be missing out on something. Like Logan would have missed out on it if John didn't just pick her up. I mean, you ask her what her favorite ride is, she'll tell you It's a Small World, which is hilarious because he had to drag her on it, you know? But she would have totally missed out on it. And I think that's the thing about us. I think when the ride is over, well, we got to be okay with that. And I'm not making light of, like, I know some of us are finding ourselves being single again after a long time and being a single mom because of our spouses have passed. And those are hard things, and I'm not making light of that at all. But I think even in those moments, God is trying to do something. He's trying to make sure that he'll see our face one day, that we'll see him face to face. And I think that's what we've got to really think about. You know, how silly would it be if you're at Six Flags and this person rides this ride and it's over and they're like, no, I'm not getting up. I'm staying here. How silly would that be, right? So let's not do that. Sometimes we don't have control over our circumstances. Sometimes we don't have control over things that happen to us. And we don't. And that's okay. Because even in those times, we just got to get up and get on the next ride. Because it's bound to be incredible. Because God has planned those things ahead for us. At this time, I want you guys to just think about what I've said tonight. And what I want us to do is, let me grab my watch. What time is it? Does someone have the time? 18:31. Okay, so we have 10 minutes, okay? What I want you guys to do is I want you to break up into three or fours and kind of spread out. And what I want you to do is I want you to think about this. And I want you to share these two questions with the people in your group. The first question is, what is God trying to teach me right now in this moment? What is God trying to teach me right now in this moment? And the second thing I want you to share is, how are you going to embrace it? What is God trying to teach you right now in this moment? And how are you going to embrace it? And so let's go and break up. We have 10 minutes. So everyone can just share a little bit. And then at 8:30, I will pray to close us out.